So how many of you noticed the sermon title on the sign this week when you were driving by? Okay, maybe you noticed it when you pulled in this morning. What was your reaction to that? Some of you might be thinking, well, who is this Chris Houston guy? And why would I want to follow Chris Houston when I get Jesus, right? For those of you who are not real familiar with Chris, I've asked Amanda to pull up a couple slides so that I can help introduce him to you. That's Chris with a few grapes. The thing that you need to understand about Chris is he loves food, loves to eat. Next picture. Chris has a big mouth. Likes to talk, that's why he's a pastor. He's spiritual, though, because he's got a Christian t-shirt on there. And then give you the eyes that Amanda fell in love with. So, would you follow Chris Houston? What is your reaction to that statement? Why would you follow this guy? It was interesting. First service, I had an individual come up to me, and he said, I got a phone call from my boss at work this week. And I said, so? He said, yeah. He said, hey, Gary, I'm driving by your church, and there's this sign that says, would you follow Chris Houston? What's going on at your church? Gary's like, I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you after Sunday. And so I'm not sure what your reaction is to would you follow Chris Houston, but probably some of you are thinking, well, shouldn't we follow Jesus? I mean, after all, people are going to make mistakes. People are going to disappoint us. That's true. But take a look at what the Apostle Paul said. If you have your handout, you're going to follow along in the notes this morning. The Apostle Paul said to the believers at Corinth, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's the challenge for Pastor Chris this morning as he is being installed as a pastor here at Community Bible Church. The challenge for Pastor Chris is to be able to say to junior high students, to be able to say to parents, to be able to say to all of us here, to be able to say to his neighbors in Marietta, follow me as I follow Christ. Not from a place of arrogance, but from a place of humility. As I said, obviously we're supposed to follow Christ. He's our example. But if you're like me, you know, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. He lived in a different culture, a different context. Sometimes it's really helpful to have a tangible, physical example of what does it look like to live for Christ, to be sold out for Christ, to follow Christ in the time and culture in which we live. And that's not just a challenge for Pastor Chris. That's a challenge for all of us who refer to ourselves as Christ followers. We should all be able to say to those in our family, to those at work, to those in our neighborhood, to those in our community, follow me as I follow Christ. Pastor Chris, I've chosen a passage this morning that I think fits you to a T, and it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I want to encourage each of you to turn there. Philippians is three-quarters of the way through your Bibles, over halfway through the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. As I said, this morning's message isn't just for Chris. All of us are called to be godly examples. And this morning, I want to use this passage to speak words of affirmation to Chris, and at the same time to bring a challenge to each of us to help us to understand through the example of Timothy, what does it mean to be an example that others can follow? So with that understanding, follow along as I read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. Apostle Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers, to the church of Philippi. And he's writing from a Roman prison, which is why he is unable at this time to come to the believers of Philippi, to encourage them, to teach them, to guide them, to support them. And so he sends a letter to them and he says, I'm sending with you Timothy. Timothy came to Christ during Paul's first missionary journey through the ministry of Paul. And he grew quickly in his faith, so much so that a few years later, when Paul went on his second and third missionary journey, he chose Timothy to be his right-hand man. Timothy was one of Paul's closest friends. They traveled together, they suffered together, they faced persecution together, they cried and they laughed together. So it should come as no surprise that when Paul was unable to come to the believers of Philippi to encourage them, to teach them, that he would send Timothy in his place. In this passage, we want to look at four qualities from the life of Timothy. Four qualities that are qualities that all of us need to have in our lives if we're going to be the kind of examples that we need to be for those around us. Look with me at verse 20. Paul says, I have no one else like him, referring to Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Quality number one is having a genuine interest in the welfare of others. Paul knew that Timothy had a genuine interest in the welfare of the believers at Philippi. Timothy was a sincere, loyal young man who was concerned not first and foremost for himself, but for those around him. Chris Heaston, in many ways, is like Timothy. Chris has a genuine interest in those around him. People gravitate to Chris because they understand that he's authentic, because he's real. I appreciated the ninth graders who shared about the impact and the difference that Chris had made in their life. But I was especially took note of Andrew's testimony. Andrew talks about the struggle that he was having in school, talks about that night at Bible study, Chris gave a message that was like perfect for him. And so he goes up to Chris afterwards and he thanks him for the message. And then Chris says, so what's going on? Chris could have done a lot of other different things. He could have went on to a lot of other different conversations. But he paused and showed genuine interest in Andrew. If Chris didn't have a genuine interest in junior hires, he wouldn't have much of a ministry. Junior hires can smell, can sense a fake a mile away. They can sense if someone isn't genuinely interested or cares about them. Junior hires love and follow Chris because they know and they can sense that he genuinely cares about them and their struggles. Some of you might think, well, of course Chris takes a genuine interest in people. I mean, after all, he's a pastor. Isn't that what he gets paid to do? Honestly, I've been around pastors who were more concerned with building their ministry, reaching their goals, than they were about taking a genuine interest in those that they were called to shepherd. On Thursday after school, you will find Chris at the TNT building on Market Street in Marietta, the youth center. Chris opens up the youth center to the teens, whoever wants to come out. These are the teens that hang out on the street if you drive through Marietta. They're the ones that cause problems, that are a nuisance to the people in Marietta. Chris opens up the TNT building for them to come in and play pool and ping pong and shoot basketball and hang out. It also provides him an opportunity to build a relationship with them, to have a connection with them, to share God's word with them. If you would look at the job description for the junior high youth pastor, it does not say that one of the responsibilities is to minister to the teens that live down in Marietta, per se. His job description does not say to open up the TNT building after school so that those teens who hang out in the street can come inside. Chris Heaston does that for one interest. He genuinely cares about those kids. Chris and Amanda moved to Marietta because they have a heart for Marietta. They weren't looking at homes in Mount Joy or Elizabethtown or Columbia or Wrightsville. They knew that there was one place that they were going to live, and that was Marietta. Because they have a genuine interest in the people of Marietta and want to live out their faith, want to show love and concern for the people by living in the same context. What about you? Do you take a genuine interest in the welfare of others? If you're here this morning, you say, yes, I want to be one of those individuals who from a place of humility is able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to be an example to those around me. I want to be an example to my family, to those I work with. It begins with taking a genuine interest in the people that God brings your way. What gets in the way of me and you taking a genuine interest in the welfare of others? Think back over this past week. Did you take a genuine interest in those that came your way? My guess is that most of us were too busy. We have our schedules. We have all the things that we need to do, all the things that we need to accomplish, all the things that we need to get to, and we don't have the time to take a genuine interest in those around us. Because to take a genuine interest in people means we need to slow down enough to listen, to ask questions, to engage with them. So if you desire to live a godly life and follow in the footsteps of Pastor Chris, then you need to have a genuine interest in the welfare of others. The second quality that we see from the example of Timothy is found in verse 21. Verse 21 says, "For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ." Eugene Peterson in The Message translates verse 21 this way. It's on the screen. Most people around here are looking out for themselves with little concern for the things of Jesus. This was written 61 AD, literally 2,000 years ago. Wouldn't this statement be true today as you look around at people? Most people around here, even in Lancaster County, might even be true for us at church. Most people around here are looking out for themselves with little concern for the things of Jesus. And Paul is writing to the believers of Philippi, and he's saying, I'm sending you Timothy. Timothy is unlike everybody else because he's not looking out for his own interest. He is most concerned about the interest and the heart of Jesus. Paul was communicating to believers at Philippi that Timothy was going to be a godly example for them. He was going to be a godly example for them because his heart reflected the heart of Jesus. Think about it. What does the heart of Jesus look like? I would say this. Jesus had a heart for the brokenhearted, for the down and out. Jesus had a hatred for sin, for self-righteousness. Remember how he would get in the face of the self-righteous Pharisees and religious believers? Jesus also had a heart for the spiritually lost. I know Chris and Amanda, they're not perfect. But as I've been able to observe and to work alongside of Chris and Amanda over the past 4 years, they reflect the heart, the concerns, the passion of Jesus. They have a heart for the hurting, for the broken. They have a hatred for sin and the detriment that it brings to lives. They also have a desire to see those without Christ come to know Christ. The priorities and values of Chris reflect the priorities and values of Jesus. A year ago at this time, 2008, I meet with Chris once a month, and One of the things that we would talk about sometimes was, okay, Chris, we're coming to 2009, and you and the elders are going to have a decision to make in 2009 because we're looking to take this interim position and make it a permanent position. Chris, what are you thinking? Are you interested in this, or is God calling you to move on to seminary or some other kind of ministry? What are you thinking? And here's what Chris would inevitably say when we would have that conversation. He would say, Jeff, I love what I do here at CBC. I love working with the junior high students. I love working here at Community Bible Church. But make sure that when the elders interact with this decision, that they prayerfully seek God's will. That they don't just assume that because it's working out, that that's what God wants. Because as much as I like it here, as much as I enjoy what I'm doing, if God has me someplace else, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be here at CBC doubting and wondering if this is where really God's called me or if I'm simply here because it looked like it was a good fit. That told me a lot about Chris's heart. That more than he was concerned about what he wanted, what was comfortable, what he desired, ultimately he was concerned about Christ and his interest. And where did Christ want him to serve and to live out his gifts? So what about you? Are you looking out for the interest of Christ, or are you looking out for the interest of yourself? Sometimes they always don't come together, right? Sometimes we have to choose between what Jesus wants for us and what we want. If you're like me, I begin to negotiate with God. Say, well, how about I do this? And then can I still do this? Or I begin to be defensive and justify what I want to do, spiritualize what I want to do. Here's how it might play out for me this week. I come home from work. I've been with people all day. I just like, I want 10 minutes, 15 minutes to sit down and to open up the paper, turn to the sports page, and just like veg out for 10 or 15 minutes. Michelle, on the other hand, wants to engage with me. She wants to hear about my day. She wants to tell me about her day. I've got 3 children. They're all saying, Dad, can you help me with my homework? And I'm saying, just give me 10 minutes. Now, what is the heart of Jesus for my family? The heart of Jesus for my family is that I would love, serve, and sacrifice for Michelle and the kids. So I'm going to have a choice. Am I going to be most concerned about my interest or the interest of Jesus as relates to the context of my home? What does it look like for you? If you want to be, if you want to be a godly example, understand that you need to take a genuine interest in those around you. Understand that you're going to need to be more concerned about the heart and the concerns of Jesus and what he wants than what you want. Look with me at verse 22. Paul says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul could vouch for Timothy's character and faithfulness, because by this point they had served the Lord together for 10 years. Paul had the opportunity to see Timothy in all sorts of situations, which is why he states that Timothy has proved himself, as the two of them have served together and worked for the sake of the gospel. You and I know that it's real easy for people to talk the talk. It's real easy for people to look spiritual, especially pastors. But it's in the daily grind, it's in the trenches of serving the Lord in the context of a body of Christ, a church family, that true colors eventually come out. What is in someone's heart eventually comes to the surface. And as they serve the Lord, if what is ultimately in their heart is about making a name for themselves, that's going to come out when they face opposition, when they face conflict. But ultimately, if what is in that person's heart is to honor and to glorify God, then that's what's going to come out. 4 years ago, the junior high pastor resigned. He was in the midst of conflict here at Community Bible Church, and we were like, what are we going to do with the junior high ministry? We need someone to give some direction, someone to provide some oversight. Kevin Knoll was the elder of oversight, is the elder of oversight, serves in the junior high ministry. And he said to the elders, well, there's this guy, Chris Heaston. Chris Heaston is in his second year at Bible College. He had just come back from the Army a few years before that. He's volunteering in the junior high ministry. Let's see if Chris would be willing to step into that role. And so for 2 years, Chris served part-time as he went to Lancaster Bible College. In the past 2 years, full-time on an interim basis. And those of you know, this year we took a vote after the elders presented Chris as a candidate for the junior high position. And the vote, if you forget or you're not here, was 100%. I've never seen 100% before. I mean, there's always somebody that has had a run-in, has a problem. But Chris got 100% vote. And this is somebody who has didn't just come in from the outside, who did a great job candidating and sort of convinced us that he's a good guy. Here's a guy who has served with us, who has lived with us for the past 4 years. And what has he done? He's done what Timothy has done. He's proved himself faithful in the midst of serving the Lord, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of challenges. He proved himself as being faithful. Question for us to think about is, am I serving the Lord? Or am I just talking the talk? Am I in the trenches making a difference in people's lives, serving the Lord? If the answer is yes, then what does it mean to prove myself faithful in that setting? What does it mean for me to prove myself faithful? And your faithfulness is going to come to the surface. Why you do your service to the Lord will come to the surface when people oppose you, when people criticize you, when you're not seeing any fruit to your labor. That's when you really get to the motives of why am I doing, what am I doing? Paul had served alongside of Timothy for 10 years. And now Paul is saying to the believers of Philippi, Timothy has proved himself because we've served together for 10 years. Got his place, Chris, here. He's proved himself as an example. If you and I want to be example for our children, we want to be example for the people in our community, in our workplace, we need to get busy about the interest of Christ, serving the Lord and His kingdom. The fourth quality that we see in Timothy is found also in verse 22. Let me read it again. It says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul and Timothy shared the same passion. Their passion was for the gospel. By the gospel, I mean the good news that God loved humanity so much that he sent his one and only son, God in the flesh, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that mankind could be reconciled to a holy God. Timothy shared Paul's passion for the gospel. Look at what Paul says as he reflected on the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation. The gospel changes and transforms lives. Why is it that Chris is passionate about the gospel? One of the primary reasons Chris is passionate about the gospel is because the gospel has changed and transformed Chris from the inside out. It's changed and transformed his relationship with Amanda. It's changed and transformed his values, his priorities. If you were to read Chris's written testimony that was made available earlier this year, in his own words, Chris refers to himself as a partier. Chris went to Donegal High School, began to stray from the roots and the things that he was taught in his home and as a boy, and began to get drawn into things of the world. After high school, he enlisted in the Army. And we won't go into detail, I don't know a lot of detail, but if you can picture somebody not living and following the Lord in the service for 4 years. After the service is when, and during that time, Chris referred to himself as a partier. But this is what he says. As I was partying, I found myself empty and restless. I found myself empty and restless until I surrendered to God, until I embraced the gospel, until I was willing to admit that, yes, I'm a sinner, that I need Christ. I can't do it on my own. Chris wants others to know the joy, the peace, the freedom, the forgiveness that he's experienced in Christ. On Friday afternoon, Chris leads a club at Donegal Middle School called Exploring Christianity. Some of you remember club periods when you were in school on Fridays, last period of the day. One of the teachers sponsors the class, Exploring Christianity, and Chris comes in and he leads the class. He's been able to do that for the past couple years. It's not something he takes for granted. But why does Chris do that? Again, it's not part of his job description. There's nobody telling him that he needs to do it. I can tell you that even if he wasn't a pastor and he had the opportunity, he would do that. Why? It's because he wants those junior high students to know that their lives can be changed and transformed through the gospel because of Christ. To be godly examples, we need to be passionate about the work of the gospel. And here's what I've observed over the years. That the people who are passionate about the gospel are the people who apply the gospel to their lives every single day. And you might say, Jeff, well, what does that look like? I mean, I know Jesus died for my sins, and when I became a Christian, I believed that, but, you know, that was years ago. How does that relate to my life now? All of us would recognize we're sinners, right? But how many of us go through a day, go through a week, and never acknowledge or recognize that we've sinned? I don't know about you. In a day, I have multiple thoughts, attitudes, probably even have words and actions that are displeasing to a holy God. That can lead me, once I slow up and acknowledge that, that's like depressing. That like can leave me feeling guilty and condemned. But you know what? That points me back to the cross. It points me back to the gospel. That means every single day I need to remind myself, oh, yes, I've sinned today. I confess that. But thank you, Jesus, that I'm forgiven. Thank you that you love me unconditionally. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the freedom that I have in Christ. I don't need to perform. I don't need to get it right. People who understand how the gospel relates to every single day of their life are those that have an appreciation and a passion for the gospel. Chris, my guess is that you're feeling a little bit of pressure this morning as we talk about the example that you are and that you need to be. But here's the good news. You don't need to be perfect. You don't have to always get it right, unless Amanda says that you need to. In fact, we know you're going to mess up. Just don't mess up with my daughter Ashley, okay? So when you mess up, when you don't get it right, you need to be humble enough to admit it. It's in those moments that you will show junior hires, that you will show their parents, that you will show your neighbors, that you will show the people here at CBC, what does it mean and what does it look like to follow Christ? Because in those moments that you confess your mistakes and your errors, even your sins, it's in those moments that you will be most reflecting Christ. To the congregation, Chris is going to mess up. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make poor judgment calls. He's not always going to be a Christ-like example. But we need to create a culture where it's okay to not always get it right. Where it's okay to be in process. We need to create a culture of grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. that you extend to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to understand and to receive your grace on a daily basis, so that we can extend your love and your grace and your truth to those around us. Lord, so that it might not just simply be our actions, but that it flows from our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to abide and to remain in you, to walk closely with you. Lord, we don't need to go around telling people to follow our example. But Lord, we need to understand what you call us to. That you call us to be your physical presence in this earth, in this world, in our families. That we are to be physical examples that people can see and touch. And through our lives that they would know what does it mean to walk and to live and to follow Jesus. I pray that you would mold us, that you would refine us. That you would help us to walk humbly before you. So that we can be those kind of examples. That we can be lights in a dark world, shining brightly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.